When we follow Jesus Christ on the path of discipleship, the early part of our path may be an upward movement where everything seems to go very well, but inevitably there is on that pathway of following Jesus a downward movement where things do not go well, where we are tested, where we grieve, where we are tempted to do things that are not good. Let us now hear the word that Jesus would proclaim to us, and let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, help us to say amen to what you teach us in the midst of adversity. Teach us now by your word to follow you. May we receive the grace that you pour out upon us, grace that is greater than our sin and our weakness, and able to carry us through the darkest times. Speak to us of that grace through Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. Harry, it strikes me that those children may be crying because they're in grief for you leaving. Sometimes the children grieve for us. The gospel in its second half, particularly in the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is a troubling section of the gospel. It is a time when the good news appears as bad news to those who follow Jesus Christ. Into those moments where they are following Jesus, he has set his face to the cross in Jerusalem. He has said to them that they must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. And they are continually in conflict with Jesus. They are strained to understand why they must go with him and die. There is losses of security because of threat, loss of hubris because they thought they knew what it was all about but discovered they did not, loss of triumphalism that maybe Jesus isn't going to be Messiah victor, loss of control because Jesus is leading them to where they do not want to go, loss of their sense of adult preeminence because children are valuable to the kingdom of God, loss of their male preeminence because women are valuable to the kingdom of God, a loss of wealth as a sign of blessing, one loss after another loss. The gospel is full of loss. But there is gain in the midst of that loss. In order for us to fully gain the depth of Jesus Christ and gain maturity, as Jesus would invite the disciples to engage in the gospel, become perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, become mature and complete, grow up. In order to gain the kingdom of God and become mature, we must give up all things. It is that downward movement of discipleship that takes us into suffering, that suffering that has meaning, and without Jesus in the midst of that, suffering can be meaningless. It is drawing closer to God and bringing us into intimacy with God because we are letting go with all the peripheral concerns of life. It is a freedom to ask the really hard questions in the depth of the bottom of how things can go, to find out what life is really about when we have lost and grieved. It is a temptation there in the midst of that to give up. And ancient spiritual direction themes have always talked about the dark night of the soul and coming up against the wall of unbelief, where we are tempted to say God has abandoned us and therefore we should abandon God. It's a learning to simplify our lives, to not have all the things that we thought we needed before and to realize that we can't take it with us and therefore we might as well let it go. It's a time of facing the totality of evil in the world and the amount of darkness that's there, and not being naive any longer about the glib view of the gospel. It is a surrendering to the grace and providence of God when all hell is breaking loose. The disciples were learning this the hard way. I grew up in a metalworking family where we had a business where we created industrial parts for machines, and one of those parts needed to be hardened, to put through a heat treating process so that soft steel could become hard steel and it could be ground to a fine balance and measurement. It was hardened because it needed to be strong. To enhance and handle the stream pressure, the close tolerances, and to have long wearability. This second half of the gospel, this time of being tested with grief, is about being heat treated in the midst of the presence of God so that we can handle the hardest stuff that life can throw at us. There are both voluntary losses and involuntary losses that we grieve. Things that we are asked to give up and voluntarily give up, and things that are put upon us that demand us to give up when we do not want them to. Sometimes we are asked to give up a good thing for a better thing. We are asked to give up a bad thing for a good thing. In William Bridges' books on transition, he talks about the importance of letting go of things of the past and moving through a time of transition to embrace things of the future. There must be loss and letting go in order to gain what is to come. We can't have it all. In fact, as things of the past often hold us back from gaining the best things of the future. I recently spoke to this on the Lenten series in the book of Exodus. If you'd like a more expanded understanding with that, then go on the internet and find that series. This young ruler, this young wealthy man, had it all. He thought that if he could gain more and more, he could actually gain the kingdom of God. It was up to him. Lord, what must I do to gain eternal life? Isn't that the American question? What must I do? What must we do to make the life that we have better? What must we do to make the world a better place? What must we do to have success? And what Jesus says to him is glaringly opposite to our cultural intuition. Give everything away, and you will have eternal life. Let go of the things that you value, that hold you captive, and you will gain what God wants to give to you that will last forever. What must I do? That loss of what I can do on my own is what is at the core of this young man's perspective. So many people understand that the first part of life seems to be the accumulation of things. And what Jesus says is, that accumulation of things actually kills the life of the Spirit. And so the man is invited to give to the poor and to sell everything so that he might store up treasure in heaven. We go through many things of loss in life. We don't just come wealthy with goods and with money and with lands and with buildings. We come wealthy with education, with the inheritance of growing up in fine families, with good health, with a sense of the specialness of growing up in a country where there's freedom. We come with many good things. And Jesus underneath this says, let go. In the last few years, I've had many dreams that have haunted me about my past. One of the most significant is the recurring dream I have about wishing I could go back to the railroad tracks of my youth. That's a strange fantasy. And I've tried to understand that fantasy on a number of occasions. I think I'm beginning to get it. I love trains. I've always loved big engines. I grew up in the time where we had the biggest steam engines in all of the world that passed by our house on a regular moment. It was wonderful to walk down to the tracks and to see these huge steam engines pulling long freight trains up into the Santa Susana Mountains. We would often take trips up in the Tehachapi Mountains in Southern California, and we would ride along the trains. And what I would remember in riding along with those trains is what was going on for me was that I was with family in the car. I was with family in the house when I heard the trains coming up the slope. And I realized that my desire to go back to the trains is a desire to go back and be in that nice family of origin growing up. How many of us hunger and thirst to be able to reclaim our days of past? If we could just go back there and relive the good old days, how much better life would be? Well, part of the loss of life is that we aren't going back. We're going forward, whether we like it or not. We can't ever go back and reclaim those trains, that feeling, that sense of way life used to be. And part of what this young man is being told by Jesus is, you must sell all of who you are and what you have, and you must move on to the kingdom of God. That's heavy grief. I was talking with my father-in-law not too long ago in the loss of his wife, my wife's mom. And he was just almost non-communicable in this retirement home environment. It took me a few minutes to finally catch his attention as he's seated there in a wheelchair. And when I would mention Edith, he would start crying because of the powerful grief of loss. And finally he said, I just don't have anybody here. I just can't talk to anybody here. I want to be able to think and talk. I want to be able to have a conversation. And most of these people don't want to engage. They're lost somewhere in their own grief. Isn't it sad that the last years of our lives would be so buried in grief that we can't even communicate, or don't have people there to talk to? I was talking to my mother the other day, and she said the hardest thing about being 88 years old is I've lost most of my friends and I'm alone. And your dad, well, your dad's mind is going and I'm alone with him as well. A grief of loss. And what Jesus is saying to us about the grief of loss and to this young man early on in life, you will eventually lose it all anyway. So why don't you understand the kingdom of heaven is about giving it up now? Judith Theorist in her book, Necessary Losses, talks about the hugeness of giving up things that we thought we could have. The losses, the illusions, the dependencies, the impossible expectations that all of us have to give up in order to grow up. She talks about four areas of loss in that book that we have to move away from our parents inevitably. As secure as it is, as much as that home feels wonderful, we have got to let go. We also come to an awareness that we have a limitation of power. We can't do it all. We can't make it all happen. We have to give up our expectation that it's all on us. She also talks about the loss of dreams. Things that we had when we were children, when we were youth, and when we were young adults, and hopes, expectations of what life could be, and we realize as we grow older that those dreams will never be met. She talks about the multiple losses of the second half of life when things start going wrong with our body, with our mind, with our relationships, when we've reached the pinnacle of life and we start going downhill. Now, this is the important moment where Jesus is speaking good news. When you believe life is going downhill, there is good news. Jesus is saying, let it go and engage me. Be in my presence and follow me as you grieve the losses. And in the midst of those losses, you will be tested to do things that are not good, because we don't like grief. We don't like the pain. We don't like the suffering. Those are the times we are most tempted to do damage to our relationships. We are most tempted to do manipulations to our businesses and systems, because we realize in our grief that we're in pain. Saying goodbye is a hard thing to do. I'll never forget those 2 days when I said goodbye to my daughters Tamara and Tanya, 3 years apart, when I dropped them off at college. I thought, I can handle this. This is no biggie. I've left them at other places before. And I found myself absolutely absolved, just dissolving into tears. I couldn't look them in the eye. I was melted. I was feeling totally at loss. Because deep inside I knew that that childhood that I had with them, that youth that I had with them, would no longer be a part of our home life. I had to say goodbye and let go. I had to put them in God's hands and say, Lord, you've got to take care of them on these wild college campuses. There are scary people around here. Jesus said to the young man, after he'd said, sell everything, come and follow me. The good news in all of the grief is that we would follow Jesus in the midst of the darkness and the pain. That Jesus is not one who abandons us, but one who is there deeply and fully and most intimately when we are in grief. Jesus wants to make clear to the young ruler that when he is grieved in the loss of the wealth, that Jesus will be there and lead him into a better place. It's a vital connection between loss and gain in the gospel. We grow by letting go. We grow by giving up. We grow by turning away from the life that we thought we could handle and hold on to the life that God has that's a gift. How we deal with that loss may block us or free us, but we need to move on to grow. When the young man heard this word from Jesus to let go and to follow him, the gospel is clear, dramatically clear. He was in deep grief because he had many possessions. He had great wealth. He had everything going his way. He was probably good-looking and successful, talented, and he probably was the most eligible bachelor in the entire city or community. He went away grieving because what he wanted to do was to make the kingdom of God eternity happen on his agenda. And you can't make eternity happen on your agenda. It can only be a gift given to you from God through Jesus. Disciples were astounded at this when Jesus said that the wealthy couldn't enter the kingdom of heaven easily. Well, then who can be saved, they said, because their view was, well, the wealthy at least are going to make it because God is blessing them with all this wealth. And Jesus turns that whole world upside down to say, wealth is not a guarantee of eternity. In fact, it's just the opposite. You can't take it with you. And so the disciples, even in their following of Jesus, realized, we've left everything, Lord, to follow you. What do we have? We'll have no houses, we'll have no lands, we'll have no money. You're going to die, we won't even have you. In fact, we may lose our own lives. But they knew deep inside that that was the core of eternal life. It was Jesus himself when all else is lost. And so today, the invitation comes to each one of us that we will go through times of deep grief and loss. We will go through many times of needing to let go and to say goodbye. And the question for us is clear. Are we following Jesus when we are letting those things go? Are we stuck in a place where we can't let go, where we won't let go, and we're so angry that we have to let go that we are going to do some damage? Jesus says, become more aware. Relinquish those things. Detach yourself from the stuff that you've held on to. Let go and walk with me. The Washington Post not too long ago, an article on fields of battle and chaplains in Iraq. Kristen Henderson, who is married to a Navy chaplain, talks about some of the things that happen in those fields of battle. Well, one of the major things that happens is that the chaplains themselves have to let go of their very tight boundaries about how faith really works. Because faith doesn't work so nicely and exactly on the battlefield. She tells a story about a rabbi, a chaplain who has learned to speak Arabic. Crucial moment where they're bringing in piles of wounded people, children and adults. This rabbi is confronted with all of these Arabs who are in pain and dying, and he sees them take a little girl off to the side because she has been set aside to die alone in a dark alley of the building. He goes over and he picks her up and holds her, and he sings to her Arab lullabies. A rabbi, Jewish, in a chaplaincy in the military on the field of battle, singing Arab lullabies. Now, here that doesn't play very well, but on the battlefield it makes total sense. Because he has had to let go of his assumptions about the boundaries and the way God functions in love and grace, and he needs to find a way to be gracious to that little girl on the field. And so it is that Jesus invites us today that whatever gains we have gained on our own, whatever education we have, whatever assumptions we have, whatever dreams and perspectives we have, to let them go. And as Paul says in Philippians, whatever gains I have had because I have done these wonderful things of being a Pharisee of the Pharisee and born a Jewish man, I count it as trash. For it is in Jesus' sake I have suffered the loss of all things. I regard them as trash in order that I might gain Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings so that I may become like him in his death. Forgetting then, he says, what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal in Jesus Christ of the higher calling of eternal life, not because I'm making it happen, but because it's a wonderful gift of God, and God has given me everything I need. We are in grief. We will be tested. We'll be tempted to do the wrong thing. Remember the words of Jesus. Give it all away and follow me. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, may you be with us now as we wrestle, as we are tested by the word that you speak to us, as we are tempted to walk away without responding because we are so full of ourselves. Speak to us in the only way you can, for it is only possible for us to come to your kingdom because you pour out grace upon us. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.